The first scripture this morning comes from John 4, verses 1 through 15. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." The word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. So can we please stop bullying the woman at the well? For centuries of Christian tradition, we have said that this woman was a fallen woman, that she was morally irresponsible, that she was guilty of unladylike behavior, all because we are told that she was married five times by Jesus. We were told that she's been married five times. Jesus mentions it in the story. Okay, so she's been married five times. Come on, people. Nobody wants to be married five times in this life. No one chooses that, right? Instead of saying she must have done something to deserve to be abandoned or divorced by five men, let us cast aside hundreds of years of church tradition that likes to smugly cast stones at this woman of God and instead say, with more postmodern scholars, "Honey, we have all been there." Because we may not have been married five times, but we have had five things in our life that have broken our heart. Or we have had five diets that we thought would save us. Or five bad haircuts. Or five bad relationships. And so whether we are male or female this morning, let's be honest and say we too are all broken. We too are imperfect children of God, and whether we're male or female, any of us could be that woman at the well today. Which is good news, because that means any of us could be encountered by the Messiah today. So Jesus is on his way to Galilee. He doesn't take the direct toll road 130 route. He goes the long way through Samaria. This is peculiar because it's the long way and it was hot and he was walking. Also because it was Samaria. And when John says in this story that the Jews and Samaritans didn't share things, that would be like an understatement. The Jewish people believed the Samaritans were unclean. They avoided them. And yet John tells us Jesus had to go to Samaria that day. I believe Jesus had to go to Samaria that day because he had to meet a woman who needed some refreshingly good news in her life. Jesus sits down by this well. I think this is a gorgeous image. He's sitting in the shade of the well, and he has sought this woman out. He's gone the long way to find her, and he waits to encounter her. This is not just any well. We're told it's Jacob's well. This is a big deal. Okay, Jacob's well was the scene where Jacob and Rachel got engaged in the Old Testament, and Moses and Zipporah, and Rebekah and Isaac. So if you were on the wedding website, The Knot, like, Jacob's well would be number one place to get engaged in the Old Testament. So this tells us something. This tells us that this is a love story on par with the great love stories of the Old Testament, like Jacob and Rachel. And so Jesus did not come to condemn this woman. Jesus came with a message of love for this woman. When she comes, she's alone. You get the feeling that this woman knew what it was to be lonely in this life. Maybe not physically lonely, but certainly emotionally lonely. She comes alone at a lonely time of the day. It's noon and it's hot. Jesus instantly has a conversation with her, a conversation that's a beautiful back and forth. It goes on for about 30 verses in our Bible, a conversation that would have been very rare for a woman and a man out in public who didn't really know each other in those days. Jesus says he's thirsty, and then he says if you knew the person who was asking you for water, you would ask for living water so that you would never thirst. And they go back and forth, but really what Jesus is saying to her is, I know you. I've been waiting to see you. I wanted you to know that I remember you and that I know what you are going through in life. I know what's keeping you up right now at night. I know what you're worrying about. I know that you've been married 5 times and that the man you're with isn't even your husband. I don't think we should worry about this. I think a woman who was abandoned or divorced 5 times in those days would have been just cared for by a male relative, a cousin or an uncle, someone legally required to protect her under the law in those days. They were called leveret marriages, and we learned about them from Dr. Amy Brown on her class on Ruth. So this wasn't an inappropriate thing she was doing. The other thing we know is that in the Gospel of John, our like American version of sin doesn't even exist. So this idea about like we're sinners and we're sinning and all that stuff in American Christianity doesn't show up in the Gospel of John at all. John is concerned with broken relationships. Broken relationships between people, broken relationships between us and God, and how God so loved the world that God sent Jesus to bring us back into relationship with God. This isn't a gospel where sin is mentioned at all. It's about broken relationships. And so when Jesus talks about this with her, he's just saying, I know the hurts of your heart. And in this conversation, the woman is touched by Jesus' words. Not condemned, she says, you must be a prophet. And in those days, prophets weren't necessarily people that could see your future. They were people who knew about your life. And later, she'll tell the townspeople, come, meet the man who knew all about the things of my heart. The thing that gets me about the woman at the well is that we call it the woman at the well. But with all of the talk of water in this story, no water is ever exchanged between Jesus and the woman. Don't miss that. I mean, Jesus starts by saying, I'm thirsty. And then, you know, like there's all this talk. And she's like, you don't have a bucket. What are you going to do? I mean, no water is ever exchanged between Jesus and the woman. This is weird to me. Because if I was writing this story as I was reading it, what I wanted to happen was kind of what Alex mentioned in the children's message. I wanted Jesus to take a bucket and like wash the well water over her in some type of like beautiful baptismal image. But no, It's just like, I'm thirsty, you don't have a bucket. And then at the end, the woman leaves her jars of oppression, so to speak, at the well, and she gets a new calling. She's the first evangelist in the book of John. She goes to the town and tells everyone about the Messiah. No water in this story. So where's the healing? Where's the healing in this story? Jesus promises living water, but no physical water is exchanged. It's because the healing's in the words, not in the water. Jesus speaks words of promise to her, words that you and I would recognize as promises given to us by God in our baptisms. Or if we haven't been baptized, the promises given to God from God to us by Jesus Christ in our life in Christ. Jesus speaks to her about the promises God has given us for our lives. Jesus says, these promises that I give you today will be like living water in your heart, gushing up into streams of eternal life. This is about promises, the promises God makes to us. And so the good news of the gospel this morning is that Jesus knows what we brought in here today. That Jesus is a part of the greatest love story ever told. That God in Jesus Christ seeks us out no matter how far God has to go and waits for us to bring us back into relationship with God. And so today, God speaks words of promise to us. Words of promise that will be like streams of living water in our hearts. So Kim mentioned that there's a pool up here in the center of our worship space, and there are stones in this water. In the final song, you are invited to come forward, if you feel led, and take a stone out of the water. On these stones are promises that God has made to you in your life in Christ. There are also stones in the baptismal font, if that is an easier place for you to access. Come to these living waters and get a message from the Lord. Because at the end of the story, the woman makes an awesome declaration of faith. She says, I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. In other words, he will say to us the things our hearts need to know. And Jesus responds, I am the Messiah. It's the Messiah that has come to speak with you today. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the love story that you write with us every day. Seek us out again in this place. Whisper to us words that might be like words of eternal life bubbling up in our hearts. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may come to the waters.